Hi, this is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking, and we're talking to my friend Steve DePass, and we're talking about the current events of the last week and a whole lot of other things, too, because we're terribly undisciplined. And we cover a lot of bases, and when we talk, we usually don't stop talking for a long, long time. Unfortunately, we are on a radio, so we do have some time constraints. Now,
because we have to let them know that you are not scripted.
Scripted? If anybody thinks this is scripted, they don't know what scripted is.
But I've always described you as nondescript.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You're a real help.
You can say that. Chris, are you with us?
I hear you.
You're not a Guinness.
I hear you.
So anyway, what do you think of what we've been? Some of the things we've been saying, Chris. As you know, has this stuff resonate with you, or you have different ideas on what we've been saying?
I mean,
well, you know, do you think that this is a really important moment in time?
It is. It's tragic that they lost their lives. You know?
But we, you know, do you see the positive? Is there one?
No, I don't see the positive in it.
Yeah.
You know, 9 folks lost their family, you know?
Yeah.
I think what Ernie's referring to about the positive is the fact that these people, with such believability, said that they forgave the perpetrator who killed them, who came in and came among them and took out a gun and shot them. And they spoke, and there was such a verisimilitude in what they were saying that it was so convincing that they said, you know, you have hurt me and you've hurt all of us, you know, but God forgive you and I forgive you too. But, you know, you've hurt. And I think that this was so remarkably impressive to people that people of all walks of life have been coming together in support of those people who are the victims and in support of the church and in support of people getting along together and realizing that the seeds of hatred breeds this kind of senseless violence, and they
well, let's respond to that.
Yeah, let Chris respond.
Yeah, I mean, that takes a lot of heart to forgive. I don't know if I would be able to do that.
I don't know if I'd be able to do
you
that.
You know, I'd probably want to, you know, maybe go to jail, beat them up once a week if I could.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
You know, we do that in the Middle East for about 2,000 years.
You know, I go get my anger out once a week or something. I don't know.
You know, you go into the Eastern Europe and those little countries there who've been throwing stones at each other for centuries. They don't have a 25-year-old vendetta. They have a 2,500-year-old vendetta. It never dies.
Yeah.
In order for it to stop, you need somebody to just stop.
Yeah, to speak up and forgive them.
Yeah.
And that's big, because there's no way I can do that. So I commend them for that.
Well, for so many people out there who call themselves Christians, these are the fundamental precepts of Christ. Christ, the idea of forgiving, even Christ on the cross with the saying about his killers, saying, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the example of Christ. And these people certainly are Christ-like, and let that resonate among all of those who call themselves Christians but don't really walk the walk. These people showed the world.
Well, you know, Christian has been bastardized by some of the most evil people in the world. And I mean, the Ku Klux Klan was essentially Christian people.
So they claim.
But you know, what their actions were diametrically opposed to any teachings of Christ.
Well, you can claim to be. There's an old story about a little boy in the old segregated South who used to see the white people on Sunday in their finery going to the big white cathedral, the big Christian cathedral, and he so was impressed by that, and he thought that he too would want to go there, and he was going to prepare himself to go there. Of course, that was a completely segregated church, but he prepared himself, and he saved his money and he worked odd jobs, and it took him 7 years, and he got himself a pair of white shoes, white socks, and a white suit and a white hat, even a white umbrella, and got himself all dressed up in his finery and got into the promenade and walked over to the White Cathedral and was walking up the steps, and he was set upon by people and said, "Boy, where do you think you're going?" He said, "Well, I'm going to church, and you know, and there with Jesus." And they chased him off, and he became so embarrassed, he began to run. He ran completely through the town, and he kept on running, and he ran out into the countryside and into the woods and sat on a rock and was crying his eyes out. And Jesus spoke to him and said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "Because for 7 years I've been trying to get into that white church, and I went there today, and they wouldn't let me in." And Jesus said, "I've been trying to get in there for 200 years. They haven't let me in yet." So there are a lot of people who claim to be Christians. But what contact do they have with Christ?
That's a good story.
It's what you call it. It's a parable.
Yeah.
So, right.
I was wondering how that was going to come to a close. I knew. So, yeah, my mother was very religious. She would go to church on Sunday and, you know, maybe 6:30 mass in the middle of the week. And my father, he never got near the church until he'd come on Christmas and on Easter, you know. So my mother once said, "Are you worried about the afterlife, what's going to happen after you die?" And he says, I'll tell him I was working on the packet. Because, you know, he was a mechanic, and he was always be working on something, whether it would be a...
Ernie, tell him your story about the hereafter.
The hereafter?
Right. Well, the story goes that one fellow always got the girls. And they said, "How do you do it?" Said, "Take them. Oh, you know, how do you, is it, did you always get..."
This is a family show. You can't talk this way.
Yeah, no, this is a family situation. This guy, he came from a nice family. And so he always got the girls. And said, "How come you get..." He says, "Because I believe in the hereafter. That's how..." So what's the hereafter? He says, "Well, what I do is I borrow my father's car, and I get in, I polish it up real nicely, I take him for a ride. And then we ride, and I take him out of town, and we drive way, way, way up there on the mountain. And that's when the hereafter comes in." And so, "How does that work out?" He says, "Because I tell them, if you're not hereafter what I'm hereafter, you're going to be hereafter I'm gone." That's an Ernie story.
You writing that down, Chris?
Just jotted it down.
Okay. All right. Give credit when it's time to give credit, okay? All right. So what do you think we should do as a country at this point? Is there anything...
Talk to each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we tried that. Obama... Obama had the audacity to say the word nigger.
In context.
And it was appropriate, and they bleeped it, and I think it was stupid and unnecessary.
They do the same thing to Mark Twain. And Mark Twain, because Mark Twain was using the parlance of the time that he wrote about, and he was making, when he talked about there was Huckleberry, and there was Tom, and there was... What was the black boy's name? Was Joe? Was that whatever he was?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yes, well, but see, he was the smart guy, and he was the loyal guy, and Mark Twain was making a point about it, and he was using. But now they want you in politically correct terms to take the nigger terms out of it, when that deletes the point that Mark Twain was trying to make.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk about auto mechanics today, but we're not allowed to say the word engine.
Right, because they feel that's an ethnic slur about Native Americans.
I never thought of that. And thank goodness I never thought of that. My corn is, you know, pretty bad. That got worse. Your corn is, by the way, it's really high on the, as high as an elephant's hide. put it in reference. What a great conversation! And this is like home for me.
Yes,
you know, this is the kind of conversations we have around my dinner table. I just enjoy exploring ideas and how people think about things, and this is why I asked you to come in today. And we're going to talk some more. This is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. I'm speaking to the very talented Steve DePass, and he's been giving me some insights all of the time I've known him. And this is Earnestly Speaking Radio, and this is LI News Radio 103.9.